Now, I'm going to change it up a little bit today. Ooh, we're going to do things a little different. I am not going to give you the opening scripture yet. I'm going to read you one line, but that's not the opening scripture. I want to have a little fun with you today. And don't look at me and say, I don't like fun, Paul. Well, you're going to have a little fun anyway. And I marked it, but I guess I didn't mark it right. I had a tab on there. You gave me tabs and I had them. But I just want to read you this one verse from Luke chapter 2. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray as we get ready to take this journey through the Scripture, through the Word, you will enlighten us, strengthen us, give us direction, and help us come to a greater understanding of your teachings. Make us ready to walk again, Father. Thank you for the words that you have given, not from me, but from you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. And believe it or not, I did build this on a scripture. Now, first of all, it's Mother's Day. So things might get a little sappy in here, because that's what you do. The great comedian once said, you know, on Father's Day, you can forget Father's Day and just walk over and pat the old man on his shoulder, and he'll just groan at you. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Everything's good. But mothers are great because they're more sensitive. You can go out and find a stick with a piece of gum on it, put it on the board, sprinkle a little glitter on it, and go, look, Mom, I made this for you. And Mom's be in the kitchen with their apron on, because they always have an apron on. And they still put the apron on, and they say, oh, thank you so much, child. I love you for that. And that's why Mother's Days are allowed to be sappy. And I'm sorry if I get that way, but here's what I tell you. All of you all have a mama. She may not have been your blood. You may not have gotten along with your real mother. I don't know your situation, but some woman somewhere in your life influenced you and instructed you and lifted you up. And to her, you say, thanks, Mom. Say it.
Thanks,
Mom. Job description. These are actual job descriptions. Number one, surgeon wanted. No experience necessary, must have his own tools. That was in the paper. That was a job description. Number two, wanted. Grape stompers. Must have large feet, good balance, no skinny people apply. It's only going to get worse. Pizza cook wanted. No crybabies. Must have a master's degree in SYM, shutting your mouth, and RYS, read your schedule. Wanted, and this is real. I took these out of a thing. These are real ads. Wanted, someone to grind or chew hay for a horse with bad teeth. Contact James Bud Williams in Canterville, Missouri, and he gave the phone number. I am so tempted to call it. One in the newspaper. Evil genius seeks minions. Must be prepared to do dastardly and distasteful things. Must be prepared to sacrifice your own life for world domination. Neat costumes and lasers come with it, and great retirement plan. Call 1-800. But my favorite, wanted immediately, 15 energetic people, go-getters, self-starters, ready to take this company to the next level, and definitely needed to replace the 15 lazy ones. Job descriptions. You see those kind of ads, it makes you begin to think. And if you do, if you look around everywhere, how would you define what you do? I saw some definitions that made me laugh. I'm going to give you the definition. You figure out who I am. I sit around and stare out the window all day. A pilot. Yeah, I listen to people cry and complain about their troubles while trying to make themselves right. Well, who said what? Hairdresser. I often hear people talk about foods they like and foods they don't like and why they like to eat them.
Personal trainer.
You see, we are all living in some kind of world where we try to make a job description. My title at work is, are you ready? I am the senior project construction manager. That sounds lofty, doesn't it? My job is to gather reports, numbers, make sure the services are caught, follow the financials on it, and make sure that everybody's working hard. That is called an inspector, in case you haven't followed along. But I am a senior project construction manager. And I answer the phone like that. If you call me during work hours, you pick up the phone. Hello, Paul Leatherman, senior project construction manager, at your service. I'm a glorified inspector. But job descriptions don't always go far enough to describe the people around us. Now, today is Mother's Day, and I found this interesting. It's from Reader's Digest back in, 1990-something, early 2000. Herb Frost wrote, "What to buy, what not to buy your wife for Mother's Day." He says, "Although the only person a man usually shops for is his wife, the whole experience is a stressful one. Many men have felt extreme frigid temperatures for a long period based on a poor recent decision. As a veteran of these wars, I am still not sure what to buy my wife on Mother's Day, but I'll pass on to you what not to buy her. Number one, don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is considered utilitarian. Don't ever buy your wife a blender for Mother's Day. Don't buy anything that involves sizes. The chances are 1 in 700,000,000 that you will get her size right, and your wife will be offended for all the other ones. And you will hear, do I look like a size 16 to you? Now, I'm not sure what a 16 is, but you're in trouble. And then she'll say, I'm too small doesn't cut it either. I haven't worn a size 8 in years. Avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win you any brownie points. Here, honey, here's a bag of silver polish. Go clean up our silver. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a six-month membership to a diet center as a suggestion that you're overweight. Can I just stop here for a minute? If you're that stupid, man, don't buy jewelry. A lot of guys went, all right. The jewelry your wife wants, you cannot afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she does not want. And guys, don't fall into the traditional trap of buying her frilly underwear. Your idea that your wife would wear that is far removed from reality. And finally, don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that, she'll ask. And don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, is that really all I'm worth? Mother's Day is a complicated day. Because it is the one day that we all put ourselves together and we challenge ourselves to try to think about mom or the woman in your life that influenced you. And we forget that mothers are a gift from God entrusted with the care of humanity, not fathers. I'm serious about that. Fathers are great. We'll get to their day later on and we'll talk about them, but they do not have the entrustment from God that a mother does. And a mother makes her worth valuable when she shows that she is a mother. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on a magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this sentence. My name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick things up. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that 100% of the class answered the question with the word mother. I pick things up. She is entrusted with the care. She is entrusted with something that is unbelievable. And so how do we honor a mother? We honor a mother by remembering her and telling her what she means to us. Your first scripture lesson today is Ruth chapter 1. I'll give you a minute to catch up to it. That's in the Old Testament, in case you haven't caught up with me for a while. But Ruth chapter 1, in the 9th verse. This is a Mother's Day story. This is the story of a true mother-daughter relationship to which no blood existed. Ruth chapter 1, verse 9. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Stop right there. Naomi had daughter-in-laws. And her daughter-in-laws, all their husbands died. Naomi's sons had died. She had no legacy left. And so she sent all of her daughter-in-laws away. And then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this point, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. When you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. That is a beautiful, beautiful scripture. "No, I will not leave you. You have brought life to me. You have given me something I never have. You have cared for me. You have raised me up. Tell me, say amen if there's a woman in your life that you can identify as Naomi. Say amen. Amen. I guarantee you, some of them are in this church for me. One of them sitting in the front row. She had no problem telling me when I was acting like a nut. She had no problem fussing at me. And they're sitting almost in the front row. And it's like having one on each side. There's Linda and there's Miss Mark. And they both had no problem. Paul, what? Now grow up. Well, I'm 50 years old. I don't have to listen to that kind of noise. Yes, ma'am. They touch me. She raised me for a while. She's taken up the duty of keeping me straight. It's a lot of work, ain't it? That's a job description. I am the directioner of the pastor. Who are you? I am Linda Strait. Hear me roar. But Naomi was to Ruth, mom, mother. And so God gives us the great gift that we can care to know because they care for us, mom. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, the great Dr. Morgan, the evangelist, the writer, the author for Christ, had 4 sons. Now you want to tell me that ain't a proud house? He had 4 boys, and guess what happened to his 4 boys? All of them, to a point, all became preachers. Now, is that the greatest thing in the world? You know, you put a flower in your, what do they call that, a flower in your lapel there, and you walk around your bow tie or your ascot. Maybe you get yourself a walking stick. "I'm Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, and I love Jesus Christ, and look what he gave me, 4 sons, and they're all pastors, and they're all great, and they're all wonderful. And I have 4 pastors, and there you go." Someone came into the drawing room one day when the family was there, and they thought they would see what Howard, the eldest of the sons, would say when they asked him this question. "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" Howard, with great admiration for his father, looked straight past him and without a moment's hesitation said, "Mother." Mother! Everyone in this room has been influenced by mother. Why? Because God saw fit to have that touch of light come down on earth and guide us. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate Mother's Day. The scripture I chose for this day is a tough one. It's a hard one. And I love it. Swing around now that you're over there in Ruth. Just go forward a little bit till you get to 1 Kings chapter 3. Beginning in the 16th verse. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in the 16th verse. This is a tough Mother's Day lesson. But it sets the stage and tells you what God thinks when He gives wisdom to women. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to talk about this one in a minute. Now, two prostitutes. I'm going to start it again, so you make sure you're with me. Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My Lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son and he was dead. But I looked at him closely in the morning light. I saw that it was not the son I had born." The other woman said, "No, no. The living one is my son, the dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king, and then he gave an order. "Cut the living child into two, give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other one said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in half." The king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Say amen. Amen. We don't talk about that scripture very much because it's tough. It starts off rough. The Bible doesn't pull back on that. Two prostitutes, two women who sold themselves for money, came before the king with a dilemma. My baby, no, my baby, no, my baby. Because one had died. King Solomon's wisdom came from the grantings and the urgings of his mother as he was growing up. Be divine, be strong, be what you're supposed to be. King Solomon grew because of that. And so what's he say? Get me a sword. I'll just cut him in half. And one woman broke down. That, my friends, is Mother's Day. That, my friends, is a job description. Sacrifice. That's what Mama is. Any woman who is willing to sacrifice what she has for you typifies what God saw fit to have us call Mother. She says, "No, don't do it. Give the baby to her." Now the other woman became enraged and demanded it be cut in half. And King Solomon knew. He read the job description as they were talking. sacrifice, compassion, love, willingness. You want me to keep going? I got 6 more fingers to go. There's the mother. I would not be alive today. I would not enjoy the Congress that I have with this congregation or the moments I'm allowed in this church if it wasn't for every single one of you women in here. Every one of you that guide and direct me. All of you. Peggy, Rachel, Shirley, Mita, Diane, Gail, Anna Lee, prayed up, packed up, ready to be picked up. Pat, I'm serious. I still love that. Prayed up, packed up, ready to be picked up. I'm ready to go. All of you influence me, and I call all of you Mama. Sometimes I'm not very happy with the way you tell me. Paul, cut your hair. Listen here. Paul, shave that beard. Listen here. I'm a grown man. I ain't very much scared of you. But it's the influence that you have on someone like me, on someone you're sitting next to, on someone in your world that typifies the job description for Mother's Day. And we see King Solomon bring it out. And he does not hold back. Richard Kerr said in Homemade in 1989, the most creative job in the world involves fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, literature, art, economics, government, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, purchasing, law, religion, energy, and management. Anyone who can handle all those has to be someone special. We call her Mom. We call her a mother. I have a poem. I'm going to struggle with it because I've read it 3 times and I can't get it. And when I get to the end, I hope it touches you the same way it touches me. Women, this poem is for you. Had I been Joseph's mother, I would have prayed protection from his brothers. God keep him safe, he is so young, so different from the others. Mercifully, she never knew there would be slavery and prison too. Had I been Moses' mother, I would have wept to keep my little son, praying she might forget the babe drawn from the water of the Nile. Had I not kept him for her, nursing him the while, was he not mine and she but Pharaoh's daughter? Had I been Daniel's mother, I should have pled, give victory the Babylonian horde, godless and cruel. Don't let him be a captive. Better dead, Almighty Lord. Had I been Mary, oh, had I been she, I would have cried as a mother never cried. Anything, oh God, anything but crucified. With such prayers importunate, my finite wisdom would assail. Infinite wisdom, God, how fortunate, infinite wisdom should prevail. From the book Prodigals and Those Who Love Them, 1991, written by Ruth Bell Graham. Today I thank the women in my life that King Solomon said is a mother. Today we thank the women in our life that King Solomon said as a mother. You love me. I don't know why. You love me. I don't get it. And you love us all. Unconditionally. Readily. My father once told a story and it's never left me. I'll tell you how long ago he told it. I was a kid at Johnstown Church of the Brethren when he gave this dissertation, and it has stuck with me forever. They are to carry the harp and announce the arrival of every soul that comes into heaven. They are to carry the harp and announce the moments that Jesus Christ decides it's time to return. They carried the harps in heaven on his day of birth here. And they cried like no other the day He died for our souls. We call them angels. No one has ever seen one. But if you want to get a glimpse of what they look like, look at the woman you call mother. And you'll see the touch of an angel. That's the job description. Mother's Day, angelic. In that verse I read from Luke, in the second chapter, if you want to follow along, in the 16th verse, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She knew what was coming. She knew that what she had bore would change the world. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again where days are past. The form I gave it, it still bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change the form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and molded it with my power and art, a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it evermore. Mothers, your job description cannot be put onto 5 sheets of paper, onto a scroll. You are the gift that God has given us to keep us cared for. And I personally love each and every one of you. And thank you for that touch. And I ask that God bless you today, you angelic women, on Mother's Day. Amen. May God bless you each and every one. Would you join with me, please, in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the women that come into our lives and change them and make us who we are and allow us to grow because they cared enough to do it for us. We thank you, Father. We pray that these women that are strong, that bear up great amounts of burden, can walk forward, heads held high, knowing what they've done for us. May we rest in the comfort of having been next to them, Father. And we thank you for giving us the wisdom to listen to them. Father in heaven, I ask that you bless each and every woman in here today. In the name of Jesus Christ Almighty. Amen.